meeting of the Exmouth Town Council Planning Committee meeting on Monday, the 22nd of June 2020 at 6 p.m. I'm Councillor Elson, Chairman of the Planning Committee, and this is a formal meeting of the Planning Committee, and we will follow the agenda which has been published on the Council's website. The meeting is being recorded and an audio recording will be uploaded to the Town Council's website in due course. As with meetings held in the Town Hall, we do have members of the public in attendance as observers, and I would like to extend a warm welcome to you all. Only those who have registered to speak in advance with the Town Clerk will be given the opportunity to speak during the public participation, and you will not be permitted, unless invited to do so, by the Chairman to speak at other times. The Clerk has the ability to mute or remove anyone if should it be necessary, but I'm sure it won't be. It is impossible to hear everyone if we all speak at once. Councillors, so that we have some order, I'd be grateful if you could speak one at a time and use reaction buttons or wave or on the Zoom screen and raise your virtual hand if you'd like to speak or interject if you're dialing in. If necessary, the planning officer, which is Ron's boatman, will display any documents using her share screen function should that be required. In order to avoid your technology being compromised, please do not use the chat unless you wish to register your desire to speak, or if you have technical problems and do not respond to any messages made via chat. I'd now like to introduce the councillors who are present this evening, and those who are able, please wave and just say hello so that you can be identified. Councillor Fred Cagill. Councillor Andrew Coleman.
Hello.
Hello. Councillor Cherry Nicholas. Councillor Brian Toy.
Hi.
Hello. Councillor Brian Bailey. Thank you. Councillor John Humphreys is trying to get in, I think. Councillor Mike Rosser. Councillor Tim Dumper.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello. Councillor Joe Whibley.
Good evening, all.
Yes, thank you. And Councillor Frank Cullis.
Hello.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming. Now, apologies for absence, we've received none. Now, before I go on to the public speaking section, which is normally the next item, we do need to resolve to adopt the supplementary standing orders, which are sent to all members in a previous email. Obviously, the standing orders which were attached to the meeting is the requirements for holding remote meetings, and this will be in place until the 7th of May 2021, or the repeal of such legislation, whichever is the earlier. And obviously these have been put in place due to the COVID-19 restrictions. I trust all councillors have read those standing orders, and do I have everybody's agreement that they are acceptable, or has anybody got any questions?
Agreed.
They're agreed.
Thank you. Everybody happy?
Agreed.
Thank you.
May 2020 on the...
It's May 2021. I've had that amended for the my schedule, but it, Ron's, you'll amend that on the. Ron's, you'll amend that. Thank you. So I will move on to the public speaking section of this evening's meeting. As you're aware, representatives will be taken ahead of any discussion that we have on an application, and the representation may be up to 3 minutes. I would ask you just to state your name and your interest in the application and whether you're supporting or objecting the application for members that may be observing this meeting this evening. And I would ask that speakers hopefully won't repeat themselves with earlier comments, which will mean that you get as many of your points in over the time. I have two members that wish to speak in respect of application 20-0993 Major Reserve Matters, which is Goodmores Farm, Hullam Road. Can I have agreement from members of the council that they're happy that we take this application as first and now? All those in favour?
Agreed.
Agreed.
Thank you. Okay. I'll just get the... So this is planning application number 20-0993, Major Reserve, location Goodmores Farm, Hullam Road. Proposal, reserve matters application, layout, scale, appearance and landscaping. pursuant to outline planning permission 14/0330 major outline for 317 residential units, including 16 affordable units, associated roads, open space, formal and informal, and an attenuation basin, the provision of service land for mixed use employment, commercial uses, and land for the provision of a primary school. I'll just say for the members of the public that we will take the comments from statutory consultees and the representations. The planning officer would normally read out after we've taken any discussion and before we take the vote. So the first person wishing to speak is Mr. Bob Horlock, who wishes to speak on behalf of the 12 households on Marley Road. So I will now ask Mr. Horlock if he will address the planning committee. Thank you, Mr. Horlock.
Thank you. Good evening, councillors. My name is Bob Horlock. I have been a resident of Marley Road in Brixington Ward, Exmouth for 23 years, and I live opposite the field entrance to Goodmore's Farm. I speak for all 12 households in Marley Road, and we wish to object to the Goodmore's Farm planning application with respect to the new access from Marley Road. At a public consultation in 2014, we were assured that there would be no vehicle access to this development via Marley Road. The planning application showed no such access, and outline planning permission was granted on this basis in August 2019. All matters were reserved except the proposed vehicle access points, which were on Denham Way. The outline planning permission required the site accesses from Denham Way to be constructed and the existing accesses to be effectively and permanently closed before any other work on the site. The reason given for the closure of existing accesses was to prevent the use of a substandard access and to minimise the number of accesses onto the public highway. Our objection is that the reserve matters application for Goodmore's Farm does not comply with these conditions and is at odds with the National Policy Framework guidelines relating to goods deliveries and the priority and safety of cyclists and pedestrians. This application shows 9 houses in a cul-de-sac, roads 20 and 21, which can only be accessed via the existing field entrance from Marley Road. For the above reasons, we object to any construction and additional long-term vehicle traffic using Marley Road. Marley Road is an unclassified country lane, a cul-de-sac with a turning area located at the field entrance. Outside my house, the road is 2.7 metres wide, that's 9 feet. There is no footpath, and it is so narrow that the only places of safety for pedestrians and cyclists or passing places for cars are in private driveways, many of which provide no sight lines up or down the lane. It is part of the East Devon Way and used extensively by local cyclists, walkers and their dogs. Recreational use has increased during lockdown, as has delivery van traffic. The proposed new houses would generate a significant further increase in traffic and therefore the risk of accidents. The solution is simple and obvious. The existing field entrance off Marley Road should be blocked off and those 9 houses should be accessed via Road 19 and so joined to the rest of the estate. Thank you for allowing us to put our case.
Thank you, Mr. Horlock. Can I now ask Councillor Paul Miller, East Devon District Councillor, as he wishes to speak in respect to this application too. Councillor Miller.
Thank you, Lynn. I am the district councillor for Exmouth Holsden, which is the adjoining ward to the application. I just firstly like to completely endorse the words that Mr. Horlock just said, and I will not repeat any of his points. I'll make entirely new points, which relate to page 74 of the neighbourhood plan on affordable housing. The objective we state is to support local residents who wish to live within Exmouth but are unable to access the open housing market, and that new development should seek to deliver a substantial amount of affordable housing. 16 out of 350 affordable houses is not substantial. The justification for a brand new primary school is very weak when there is ample space for other primary schools to expand without significant loss of green space. in them. This is a green belt, this is a greenfield site, and I cannot believe this ever got outline planning permission. It is a daft scheme which does nothing to relieve the number of people on the housing waiting list in Exmouth. House prices in Exmouth, already higher than the national average, have risen 8 times the national average in recent years. The neighbourhood plan clearly states that it will support the firm application of the current requirement to have 25% affordables in any residential development of more than 10 units. This doesn't meet that criteria, and therefore I hope the committee recommend objection. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. I will now ask the, we've now got a number of councillors, I think, that wish to speak, but I'll start with those in Brixington as it is actually in their ward. So first of all, Councillor Cherry Nicholas. Cherry, do you want to?
Yeah.
Nope. Okay. Councillor Fred Cagill, do you want to start?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that, Chairman. Before I make my comments, can I just get some clarification from either you, Chairman, or Ron's about this site? I'm led to believe that the site itself, the whole development site, falls into three wards. That's Holston Ward, Brixton Ward, and Limpston Ward. Can you confirm that for me, Chairman?
I've been seeking clarification regarding the Holston due to the change of boundaries, at the last change of boundaries, because as far as I'm aware, the only notifications went out to Limpstone councillors and Brixington councillors, not Holston councillors. But I don't know, Rons, whether you've made any clarification on that.
Well, initially it only went out to Limpstone councillors until I actually spoke a week later, and they sent it to Brixington and Holston, or that's what they told me, and they sent me a map which was A4 and it didn't show the whole site. So no, unfortunately,
I've actually made a complaint concerning the actual letters not going out, and I think Councillor Nicholas has as well.
I met with residents of Marley Road on Saturday morning and listened to lots of concerns from lots of the residents in that road. And I do have concerns. I mean, the development of this site by Eagle Investments Limited has been on the cards for over 20 years. We're all familiar with that. The site has outlined planning approval and is within the neighbourhood plan. We are now concerned with the details, and I'm led to believe that at the public consultation held at Brixton Primary School, which was before I became a councillor, John Fowler of Eagle Investments specifically promised residents that there will be no access to the site from Marley Road. And this is shown on the outline plans approved back in February 14. The plans now submitted show a cul-de-sac of 9 four-bedroom houses with access from Marley Road and no access to the rest of this development. Residents of Marley Road rightly are very concerned that this basic promise has been broken. I am also very concerned that this has happened. My other point is that, as Councillor Miller has alluded to, the fact that there is only 16 so-called affordable houses, I do find, it's a bit hard to swallow, because I would have thought a site as big as that, which is very similar to Plum Park, would have at least the same affordable quota as somewhere like Plum Park. The other concern that I have, and I've got a couple more, The other concern is about the school. When the school was first talked about many years ago, it was quite a long period of time. And I'm not sure that the demographics are still the same as they were then, as they are now. And I would like to think that before anybody goes down the road of building a school, that
finished
they...
Finished about eight, will you?
Eight.
About eight, did you say?
Sorry, I'm being interrupted. I'm right. I would think before anybody goes down the road of building a school, that that they revisit the need and the requirement for a school. Because my view is that, more importantly, medical facilities are really needed in this part of the town. We have the health centre at the hospital and various surgeries scattered around the town. They are all working over capacity, Well, if we're going to put more houses into Exmouth and more people into Exmouth, I think we need to look at something like a medical facility as opposed to a school, if a school's not needed. Now, if it's needed, fair enough. But if it's not needed, so I think that data really needs to be revisited. My final point, as with any construction site, there are often concerns with traffic management. My main concerns are that we already have major development sites in Exmouth that have already caused residents problems due to bad communication during planning stages. Traffic management should be discussed at a pre-development meeting involving all parties to ensure that the best possible outcome can be decided so as to avoid any problems in the development phases. I would also ask who is paying for the work on Dinan Way to facilitate the accesses and crossing points. And in the actual permission and grant of planning permission, it clearly states no development should take place until a revised construction and environment management plan to include schemes for the suppression of dust and air quality measuring and mitigation has been submitted to and agreed in writing with the local planning authority. The development shall not proceed otherwise than in strict accordance with the KEMP, as may be agreed unless otherwise agreed in writing with the local planning authority. So I'd like to think that we can move that before any construction takes place, that all interested parties are invited to a meeting to discuss traffic management. And that's all I need to say. And I fully support Mr. Horlock and his comments.
Thank you. Just to say that item 17 on the decision notice for the outline does say that prior to commencement of any part of the site, they shall have to have a construction management plan concerning the works and deliveries and everything. So that is in the actual original decision notice when the appeal went to the inspector.
Can I come back, Chairman? The plan is there. The plan is there. I've seen the plan. But I think it really needs to be discussed further. Thank you.
Yeah, that's fine. I was just making it clear that at least it has been in the decision notice, which sometimes it isn't. Councillor Andrew Coleman.
Hello. Yeah. I've had a number of, it's not border in my ward, and I have a number of representations, as I'm also represented Brixton on EDDC as well as Expert Council. I've represented Mr. Horlock and others, and be honest, I fully support what they're saying. I think they've got a very good case. It sounds like the developers are pulling a bit of a fast one. I think I've got a number of concerns about this development. I think I noticed it went in 2014. Things have changed quite a bit since then. We have a climate emergency. I would like to know how many people are going to be living in this development, going to have to commute somewhere else by car to work or shop. We need to start considering these things when we make these developments. But yes, I think we should, I certainly am minded to object to this development unless this issue with the Marley Road is dealt with. And I fully support their the case there.
Thank you, Andrew. Councillor Cherry Nicholas, have you got any points you want to add? I can't hear you, Cherry, although you're unmuted, according to me. Can you hear me, Cherry? Cherry, can you hear me? Cherry? Did you want anything to add? I can't, although you're not muted, I can't hear you.
I can't see any obvious problem.
I think the mic might be off on the laptop.
Cherry, is your mic off on the laptop? Because you're not muted. I haven't muted you. Is it on? Can you check on your laptop with it? Anyway, I'll have to move on. So this is in respect to planning application number 20. Oh, sorry, Councillor Bailey. Councillor Bailey.
Thank you, Chairman. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
Yes, I
can. Good, good. At lunchtime today, Aurora and I went up to visit Mr. Horrocks and a few of the neighbours, and I have complete and utter sympathy with their case, and it springs to mind the problems we've had at Plum Park with Douglas Avenue. The road has turned into an awful mess, like a ploughed field, deep furrows, rutted. And this is the problem we're going to have if the access is ever deemed to be allowed to go through Marley Road. As I'm not going to repeat what Mr. Horrocks said, but I totally agree with him. And there is no provision, as far as I can see, in the plans to do this. They've reneged on their promise, which unfortunately didn't appear anywhere in writing. I can't find it in writing anywhere. But I think we ought to object on this problem. Also, the school, I feel, is unnecessary. I've checked with various schools in the area. They've had capacity. They have signs outside asking for pupils. So therefore, we don't need another school. I think it's just surplus to requirements. And regarding the construction phase and planning, I totally agree with Councillor Fred Cagle. Because the one that used at Plum Park was said the same with that. It's all been sorted out and it turned out to be an absolute disaster. So I honestly think that ought to be revisited for Goodmore's Farm. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Len, are you wanting me to speak?
Well, you got your hand up, so I thought perhaps you wanted to.
No, I've got my hand up as well. I've fixed it.
We can hear Jerry now.
Yeah, no, Joe, you got your little hand up to say.
Yeah, no, just for clarity, I personally, like a lot of other councillors, have an issue with the 5% affordable housing thing. Am I right in saying because that was part of the outline planning agreement that's not a reason that we can use to object to the planning application tonight? I mean, there are plenty of others. Don't get me wrong, but just for my clarity, because that was in the outline planning permission, are we able to attempt to change that or recommend changing that in any way, or are we not?
You can make a comment in respect of the affordable housing because it's been reduced.
Okay.
From the original planning outline planning permission, so you can make a comment on the affordable housing.
Okay.
Councillor Cherry Nicholas.
Right. I think Marley Road, the access problems and everything else, have been actually well covered. We've got a large number of TPOs on the site. Do we have a statement from our EDCC officers regarding what they think of the plans to protect the trees?
I can't see one. Rons, have you got anything on your records, please? I can't see anything about TPOs.
Well, there's a lot of them, and they're proposing taking down...
The Eastern District Council tree officer has been...
Well, we all know the history about the vanishing oak.
I was just going to respond to... Yeah, I was going to say that East Devon District Council tree officer has been consulted. However, they haven't commented as yet, but they have been consulted and would be expected to submit some comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Toy?
Yes, we've read that 64-page report from East Devon, and if you read that report, not much of it is being adhered to. So there's every reason why we should not accept what's being planned at the moment. The road connects is pretty obvious. When we look at the plan, there's a drainage tank. I don't know whether it's overground, underground, or wobbling free, but it'd be right in the way of putting a connection to the corner where it needs to go. So that's a problem. Another one that struck me is industrial areas. Why can't they all be lumped together and put at the north of the site with a separate exit onto Hullam Road to avoid commercial vehicles rumbling past residential properties to create such a disturbance? That's one thing that it seems to be pretty obvious to me. As far as the drainage is concerned, Southwest Water said they're not prepared to pay to upgrade the system, and there doesn't seem to be any money in this to do that either. So here's our chance to go entirely green. What about a reed bed that naturally neutralizes the sewage? It's something we can think about. There's not a lot of green in this particular thing anyway, like putting solar panels on every roof, I think, which should be done. So I think there's not enough there in that to satisfy me whatsoever. I think I would tend to object to this on the grounds that it's inappropriate use of the site. Thank you.
Councillor Mike Rosser.
Thank you, Lynn. I agree with the comments that have been made previously by all the other councillors and the resident in Marley Road. I don't know if we can have any influence on this, but the proportion of hard landscaping, housing to green space is wrong, as far as I can see. I mean, I can understand the developers want to make as much profit as they can, but I think they're cramming far too many houses in there. There's no recognition of climate change, no attempt to look at encouraging renewable energy, local food production. The gardens are minute. I don't know if there's a valid reasons to object, but I agree with all the other comments that have been made.
Thank you. I can't see that anybody else wishes to speak. So this is in respect of planning application number 20.
Councillor Elson, Councillor Dumper's got his hand raised.
Councillor Dumper.
Sorry, Chair, I obviously didn't raise my hand high enough. Just to say, I also agree with other councillors. I particularly support Councillor Mike Rosser there in his points about the lack of encouragement for renewable energy. I would also say that what needs to happen in a way is a link made with safety concerns in Dinan Way, because when or if this development is ever developed, there is going to be a distinct need, and particularly if there's a primary school there, a distinct need for crossing that road. There needs to be provision for a crossing, and there needs to be some way of financing that. Can I go back a moment to the issue of Halsden Ward, because Halsden Ward's northern boundaries have not been redrawn in that way, and Halsden is a neighbouring ward, whereas Brixington and Lipston are the two major wards that this is in. So I think that's fairly fairly defined answer to that problem. What I'd like to do, if I may, because Councillor Paul Miller and others have brought up the whole issue of the affordable housing, and in my view, clearly that wasn't decided when we discussed it before, but it has clearly been decided in negotiations between the developer and East Devon District Council in the time since. And I think that we distinctly need to do what Lynn had suggested earlier, which is to put back to East Devon District Council very strongly the comment that this town needs more affordable housing. There are several other issues about this development, but I've always supported it in principle, and I continue to support it in principle as long as the details are got right. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Okay, so right, Councillor Bailey.
Yes, thank you. The problem we have with the affordable housing, I believe, stems from the developer playing the viability card. Now, the developer and the governments have come to an agreement whereby the developer is assumed to make 19.68% profit. Now, if he can prove that he's going to make less than that, he can come in with a viability situation whereby his affordable homes are decreased in proportion to the viability costs. So they've got the surgery to pay for if they build it, or if they use that land for something that the county wants, i.e. the school, that will be coming eating out of the developer's profit. And the only way that I know that can be sorted out, if it was to go to appeal in Bristol with the inspector, and they could override East Devon, but there's no other way of doing it as far as I'm aware.
I think we're still valid in making a point about affordable housing, because obviously it's very strongly felt by the
committee. I quite agree.
Yeah. Okay, so this is planning application number 20, Obligo 993, major reserve matters. Location, Goodmalls Farm, Hullam Road. Proposal is reserve matters application, layout, scale, appearance and landscaping. Pursuant to outline planning permission 14, oblique 0330, major outline for 317 residential units, including 16 affordable units, associated roads, open space, formal and informal, and attenuation basin, the provision of service land for mixed use, employment, commercial uses, and land for the provision of a primary school. We have received comments from statutory consultees and also a 33 representations. I'll ask Lisa, do you just want to summarise those so that they're recorded?
Yes, certainly. So we've had statutory consultee comments from the NHS Foundation Trust outlining the SIL and Section 106 requirements. DCC Highways requested additional information. Not sure if that's regards the construction management plan. Councillor Jeff Jung of Woodbury and Limpstone Parish Council has objected. He says that no details been given regarding the commercial aspect of the development. He expected better building style and design and thought for climate change strategies. He's concerned about the impact on downstream flooding in Limpstone in Withycombe. Feels the work van provision of 12 vans has been underestimated, and that there should be a weight limit of 7.5 tonnes for construction traffic crossing Woodbury Common or Woodbury Village. Also asks about the responsibility for the cost of maintaining open spaces, verges, play parks, hedges and trees. As you mentioned, there have been 33 representations, including those from the Marley Planning Group, Exmouth Civic Society and Exmouth Residents Association. And summary of concerns raised are access, strong objections to the proposed access on Marley Road, and that the proposed access forms part of the East Devon Way, which is extensively used by walkers and cyclists, concern over highway safety, Concern that the traffic and safety assessment is out of date and does not reflect current usage or Marley Road. And comments that the current road infrastructure needs to be improved prior to the commencement of further development. Comments on layout, that the change in the road layout at the north of the site is a departure from the original approved application and could possibly enable future development. Design, phases 2 and 3 do not identify any green space or play areas. There are comments about the lack of renewable energy and that residential and commercial developments should not be mixed. Concerns raised over flooding, potential flooding lower down the brook, and that the drainage system will be unable to cope. And in respect of landscaping matters, the plan shows 2 protected hedges. However, the 2018 master plan apparently states that 12 were assessed as priority habitat. And there are calls for an updated ecological survey to be submitted to ascertain the mitigation requirements. There was one comment in support.
Thank you. And I just remind members that this comes with the Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan. We will be looking at EN1, which concerns proposals for development either in the built-up boundary or outside the built-up boundary. But obviously, this particular development has already been is in the local development plan for East Devon District Council. So I take Councillor Cahill's first comment when we were objecting on the basis of this is a departure with regard to the access into Marley Road, which was the main, I think, that we're going to have to say regarding objection. However, I do have a number of points that everybody wishes to also add into that, which is also Councillor Dumper's concern with linking with the safety concerns in Dinan Way, which we have already raised at Town Council, that the affordable housing has been reduced to 5%, that we also want the agreement that there would be a primary school, that obviously that's Devon County Council would need to review that. We've also obviously got the concern that with regard to the plan for the actual containment plan and also the commencement of the construction management plan, that obviously it would be ideal if residents could be met prior to that. And also the recognition for climate change, which has been also raised by a number of councillors. Does that cover the majority of points that councillors have made? Yeah? Okay. In that case, it's proposed for Cahill, and I think seconded by Andrew Coleman, who covered most of those points, and Sherry Nicholas also agreed. Yeah. All those favour of objection on those grounds, please show.
A favour, I've got a...
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 8. Any against? 1. Any abstentions? In that case, the objection is upheld that we're going to put through. Thank you, councillors. And thank you to the members of the... Well, thank you to Mr. Horton for Horlock for joining us at the to be able to put your points forward for the Marley residents. And thank you, Councillor Miller, for attending the meeting. I'll now go back and move on to the rest of the planning meeting. So we'll move on to item 3, declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensation. Is there any applications which members wish to declare an interest that haven't already done so to Rons? No, I take that as a no. The minutes of the meetings held on 16th of March 2020 and the response to planning applications on the 30th of March, 14th of April, 27th of April, 12th of May, 26th of May and 8th of June 2020 have all been circulated. Can I confirm that there are 2 records of the decisions that were made at those council meetings? All those in favour?
Favour.
Thank you. Any against? Any abstentions? No, that's carried. Thank you. Now we move on to the tree applications, but we have had no tree officers report, and therefore it probably be prudent to defer all the tree applications until we get the tree officer's report, so defer to the next meeting. Is everybody in favour of us deferring those till we get the tree officer's report? Yeah, all those in favour? Thank you. So we'll move straight on to consider the planning applications for consultation. Firstly, Brixington Ward, planning application number 20/09944, Main Cottage, Old Istock Drive. Proposals for construction of replacement fence to the front and side. Had no comments from statutory consultees, no comment, no representations. I draw your attention to the Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan, EB2, which is new development, should be mindful of surrounding building styles and ensure a high level of design as exemplified in the Avenue's design statement or similar. So, Councillor Coleman?
Yeah. Looks okay to me. I notice the fence is quite a bit higher, but I don't think there's been anybody else's space. It looks fairly open space around there, so I can't see a big problem with it.
Thank you. Councillor Cahill?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I mean, it's construction of a replacement fence, so one assumes that, you know, it's going to replace exactly where the other one was or stood, and it would conform with the approved height, so I've got no problem with it.
Councillor Nicholas, can you?
Oh, you okay? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Right, okay. Well, I can't see a problem with it. They're replacing a broken fence. It isn't the whole fence, but it's the part that goes around the back. The only adjustment that I can see that they're making is they're increasing it from 1.8 metres to 2. So I'm not sure. Is it 2 metres they can go up to legally?
1.8.
Well, then they're 0.2 metres too much.
That's why they've applied for planning permission, because 1.8 they can build without planning permission.
Well,
so that's why they've asked for planning.
I can't see a major problem with it.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we just got.
But what?
No? No? Okay. All those in favour of approval? Nobody hear me, yeah? Yeah, I did ask you, Frank, whether you wanted to come in and you didn't respond.
Sorry, I didn't hear you. Really, I was just asking if it was that was the reason why it had come before the planning permission, full permission, because of the certain height.
Yeah.
That Terry sort of answered my question, but I didn't want to leave it because my hand was still up. But I'll try and take it up now.
No, you can have 1.8 is the limit. If it's higher than that, you'd have to get planning permission.
Other than that, I think it's that extra 2 centimetres. Make him a bit of privacy. Yeah, it's not a problem.
Okay, so it's proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour?
In favour.
Against? So that's approved. Thank you. Now move to Halston Ward, planning application 20/10624, 32 Featherbed Lane. Single-storey rear extension. There are no comments from statutory consultees or representations. Councillor Toy?
Yeah, it's a fairly modest application and it's not very obtrusive, so I don't see any problem. I would propose that we accept it.
And I'm happy to second. All those in favour?
Favour.
Thank you. That's approved. Next application is 37 Featherbed Lane, construction of single and two-storey side extension. There are no comments from statutory consultees and no representations. Councillor Toy?
There's no substantial increase in the footprint of the property. And the front dormer, there are a couple of dormers in that road already, so the precedent has been set. So again, I don't see a problem. I would recommend we approve it.
And I concur, so I'm prepared to second. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour?
Favour.
No. Okay, that's approved. Next application is 20/1091 Full, 19 Highbury Park. Construction of single-storey side and rear extension and replacement balcony. There are no comments from statutory consultees and no representations. Again, this is similar, and actually it's a replacement balcony for a previous one. So, Councillor Toy.
Yes, the existing conservatory extends more than the new extension would extend, although it extends much wider. It's a plot that can take that with no great problem. The balcony is very much similar to the balcony that existed before already, so that's not a problem. The property is well set back from the road, so that the addition of it, the garage, is not really going to have any great effect on the street scene. So again, I would recommend approval.
And I'm happy to second. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Against? No. That's approved. Thank you. Next application is 20/0928 Full, 6 Trimfield Avenue. Proposed loft conversion with dormer windows and part first floor extension over the hall and garage. There are no comments from statutory consultees. There is one representation, but there's also, draw your attention to, as usual, the neighbourhood plan EB2, which means we should be mindful of the surrounding buildings, although quite a few in Trimfield have had similar work done. The only representation we had is a comment regarding working hours, and they would like construction times restricted to 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday. We can make that comment, but I have got no particular issues with the planning application because there's quite a few in Trimfield Avenue that are very similar. Councillor Toy.
Yeah, this is a typical front extension. There are hundreds of examples of this all over Exmouth. And the fact that there are other dormers in the road, again, does not present any great problem whatsoever. So I would recommend approval.
And I'm happy to second. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Any against? No, thank you. Approved. Now move to Little and Ward. Application 20/0842 Full, land adjacent to the meetings, Mare Lane. Proposal is for a conversion of disused agricultural building to create one dwelling, including construction of single-storey extension and demolition of outbuildings, construction of new access and change of use of land from agriculture to domestic to facilitate the provision of two car parking spaces to serve the existing dwelling. We have two comments from statutory consultees, which I will ask Lisa, if she could just summarise for us, please.
Certainly. So, Councillor Nick Hookway objects. He's concerned that the proposed landscaping arrangements for the existing dwelling at the northern end of the site and the car parking at the southern entrance will be visible from the road, thereby detracting from the character of the site, and he thinks it's unsuitable within the area of outstanding natural beauty. The proposal is contrary to Strategy 46 of the East Devon Local Plan, in his opinion. Councillor Brewster Sarum supports the application, believes that the proposal is relatively modest in scale and is of natural and vernacular materials. He considers on balance that the application is in broad conformity of the criteria of Strategy 46 of the Local Plan, subject to the assessment by East Devon District Council's landscape architect.
Thank you. I would draw members' attention to the Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan, EN1, which is that proposals for development within the built-up area boundary will generally be supported, and proposals for development in areas outside the built-up area boundary will only be permitted where they are in accordance with a specific policy within the Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan or where absent policy or site-specific allocations contained in the East Devon Local Plan 2013-31. Development will only be permitted where it would not harm the distinctive landscape, amenity, environmental qualities within which it is located, including landform and patent settlement, and then there's the usual other criteria. But I will go to Councillor Brian Bailey first.
Thank you, Chair. I share the opinion of Councillor Desarum. I feel it wouldn't be a problem. I also feel it would be more beneficial on the eye than what's there already. So I have no objections. I'd be pleased to second it if it's already been proposed by whoever.
you. Councillor Humphreys. You're muted, John.
Can you hear me now? Yeah, Madam Chair, I'm happy to propose this. I went up Mare Lane over the weekend and I looked at it. The extension has been designed to match the style of the original building. And I think that's important for a planning consideration. The application meets the criteria of policy 8. So I will propose this, and Councillor Brian Bailey has just stated that he's happy to second it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, John.
Councillor Mike Ross.
I mean, there are bats in this building. There's an ecological report provided by the developers about attempts to mitigate disruption to the bats. Also nesting birds on the site. I'm concerned too that we haven't got an independent professional ecological opinion that can advise us. The farm immediately opposite this proposed site has already been, it's currently being turned into residential accommodation. So I presume this, there's no objection on the basis of the neighbourhood plan, although I'm curious because it's outside of the area of approved building. I object. I think we need to have an independent view of the disruption to the bats and a professional ecological opinion that can advise us on this site before we go ahead.
Thank you. I've got a proposer and seconder for approval, so I must take that. Oh, Councillor Cullis.
Hi, yeah. I agree with some of the points brought up by Mike there, but we need some independent reports. Also, the access to this and of the others across the road is being developed as well. The highways report is a highways report from the developer's consultant. It's not actually from highways, so I'd like to see an independent view on that as well. I don't like to see agricultural buildings go or farms go or building in areas of outstanding natural beauty, but it's the way things are going. I would like to see those independent reports on the bats of there is concern over bats. Otherwise, I'm kind of 50-50 on it, really. I don't like to see it going there, but I can't see really why we should object to it. The buildings are already there. I mean, if there was a greenfield site, I wouldn't be happy about it at all. But the unused agricultural building is there already, then maybe there's a case for them to develop it.
Okay. I mean, I have to say that East Devon won't, they obviously would look at the report that's been provided by the applicant. They won't cost an independent. They'll look at the report that's been provided by the consultant for the applicant, and but we can certainly ask highways to comment.
But yeah, I was going to say, does that count for highways too? Because it is quite a narrow road up there.
No, we can ask highways to make a comment, but the you know, East Devon won't pay for an independent ecological report, I'm afraid. I mean, what they'll do is they will look at the report that they've received from the applicant and make a judgment that if that is, you know, if that report is sufficient to meet the needs of the application, then they will take that into account. If they don't feel it meets the need of the application, it needs to be wider, and they've had people object, or they've had comments sent to East Devon District Council about other aspects, whether it's nesting birds or different type of bats or any other particular animals, then they will obviously, you know, ask for further information if they think that's appropriate.
Am I correct to believe, though, that of the agricultural building is there and is being unused, the neighbourhood plan actually supports it being changed to residential?
Well, there is a general in the policy, national policy framework as well, Frank, that they agricultural buildings can be transformed into private dwellings, but they have to meet certain criteria. But if they'd met that criteria, it would have been permitted development. We wouldn't have anything, but because it's in the outstanding natural beauty, then obviously we do have a view, but the difficulty is that you know, they won't get another report. They will base their judgment on the information they have, and if they need a habitat report, or they, you know, they would ask the applicant to get a further report. But the highways is another issue. We can make sure we get highways. Councillor Bailey was first.
Thank you very much, Lynn. Regarding the bats, just to inform Mike and the others, that I think about 3 or 4 years ago, there was a development in East Budley in a barn which had 400 bats, which were very rare. And it all went to appeal, and it went to English Heritage and English Nature, and they issued a license to develop, and that didn't protect the bats at all. They just went in and knocked down the building, put a little bat hut about 50 yards away, and hoped the bats would live there. So the paper protection for bats looks wonderful, but in practice, it's non-existent. So it won't be an obstacle, unfortunately.
Councillor Rosser.
Doesn't make it right, though, Brian.
I think that's a, okay. I think that's a red herring. And there's no proposal from the developers to build an alternative habitat for these bats. And I think the argument that East Devon won't look at an independent ecological survey is there's no justice to it. I think East Devon should be employing a professional ecologist to give us views about the impact on ecology of these developments.
Well, I think perhaps we need to make that point, Councillor Rosser. You know, I mean, I'm happy to put that on there, that, you know,
we
do make that point, Kat, you know, that we feel that with the changing, I mean, to be perfectly honest, things have changed over the years, particularly with environmental matters, that is much more prevalent than it used to be.
Yeah.
So perhaps that is something that they should now look at, now that issues have changed and what people's views have changed over a number of years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm quite happy if you wish to just say to East Devon, would they consider that at some stage? Okay.
Thank you.
So I've got a proposer and a seconder for approval. But as I say, I'm happy to say that we ask Highways to see if that. Councillor Dumper.
Yes, sorry, Chair. I'd like to back that proposal of Councillor Mark Rosser's about the ecologist. I think it's something that's come up several times in the past, and I would look to the new administration at East Devon District Council with its emphasis on climate and ecology to bring that in. The other issue that I'm particularly concerned about with this application is the AONB. Area of Outstanding Natural Beauty, of which I'm on the one of the partnership board members, and personally I think that we are in danger of putting a wedge in here and letting development go up Mare Lane from where it is being done already, and I think we need to say look, we're prepared to oppose this one.
Madam Chair.
I've got a proposal and a seconder for approval, so anybody who wishes to object to that will have to vote against the approval. I've got a proposal and a seconder for approval, so that's the proposal I'm going to take. So I've got a proposal for approval and a seconder for approval. So all those in favour of approval, please show. Those against?
Yes, against.
Sorry? 1, 2, 3, 4. Those abstaining? 1. So that is lost, so it'll be objected.
Only for the bats.
Yeah, well, that's fine, that's fair. I mean, we've taken a fair vote, so. Okay, move on to the next application, which again is in Littleham, is application 20/09/71 full. Proposes for an erection of a single storey side extension for use as holiday accommodation, creation of new reactor access, and construction of rear dormer and installation of roof lights to facilitate a loft conversion. We have 9 representations. We've had no comments from statutory consultees. I will ask Lisa if she could summarise those 9 representations, please.
Certainly. So concerns have been raised around the shoehorning of a new building into a small site and the fact that it will press hard up against neighbouring boundaries, specifically number 8 Cranford Avenue, damage to specimen tree roots and the impact on the wildlife corridor between the two properties, the additional proposed access and the issue of highway safety, removal of part of the front boundary wall, which forms part of the character of the avenues, that 4 windows and a door will be overlooking 8 Cranford Avenue, thereby impacting on their privacy, and that the proposed holiday let business is unsuitable in a residential area. 9 representations in total.
Thank you, and I will draw members' attention to the Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan EE1 regarding tourism and proposals for tourist facilities and a holiday accommodation in the Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan area will be supported in order to boost the local economy and enhance the promotion and development of the area as a suitable holiday destination. Proposals must consider and not adversely affect the character and functioning of the local area. Right, I'll go Councillor Mike Rosser first.
Sorry, I'm just trying to find my notes. Okay. Right, here we go. Yeah, there were a number of objections, most of them from the neighbours, immediate neighbours. There's also a dispute about the boundary. It's alleged that this proposed extension will actually go over the boundary and part of it will be in the neighbours' land. Concern re possible damage to trees and shrubs. Also, there are concerns about the new access to the road and windows and doors invading the privacy of number 8. Looking at the plan, there's actually a games room and a utility room between the existing building and the extension. If there wasn't, and that's accessible from the existing building as well as from the extension, if those two rooms weren't there, then the extension would actually be not as near to the boundary with number 8 as it is at the moment. And I think a number of the concerns that have been raised would be addressed. I also don't see the need for a new access to Cranford Avenue. Why can't the people using the holiday annex just use the existing annex, existing access? And I think that would answer some of the concerns.
Thank you, Councillor Bailey.
Cranford Avenue are just not suitable. It's basically that area is a retirement area, and there'll be lots of young people coming and going late at night. And I don't think it's a fit place to have it. So therefore, I would like to recuse it. Thank you.
Councillor John Humphreys.
Madam Chair, I'm all in favour for holiday accommodation, but I have taken a look at this site, and in my opinion, I will be voting against it. It's too cramped.
Thank you. So I've got a proposal and seconder for refusal. And I think we're actually on the EE1 neighbourhood plan, we are actually saying that in our view it would adversely affect the character and functioning of the local area and therefore is against EE1 of the Exmouth neighbourhood plan. All those in favour of objection, please show.
In favour.
Any against? No, so that's refusal. Thank you. Now move on to the next application, which is 20, I believe 11324, Mirasol, Radenstahl Lane. Add stone veneer cladding to the front of the property and approved porch under application 19, I believe 21944. There have been no comments from statutory consultees, no representations. As normal, I will draw your attention to the Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan, EB2, is that we're mindful of the surrounding building styles to ensure that the design is amplified with the area. Councillor Brian Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. I personally have no objection to this. I can't see that it's going to do any harm to anyone. So therefore, I would propose acceptance on that, approval.
Councillor John Humphrey.
No objection to this, Madam Chair.
Councillor Rosser.
Yeah, I've got problems understanding what this application is about. It seems that it states in the summary that it's about cladding this bungalow in rustic stone. The very few drawings submitted with the application, there's an elevation that doesn't show any difference to the appearance to the existing bungalow. I personally think that cladding this bungalow in rustic stone would be totally out of keeping with the building. There are some rustic stone walls in the area on older buildings, but this isn't an old building. I think cladding it in rustic stone would not match the white rendered buildings that are in that road. I think it would be totally ridiculous. So I object.
So I've had
Madam Chair, yeah. The bungalow is set back from the road with a hedge and a stone wall. Down Radlinstown Lane, the majority of them are hedges with stone walls. And I personally think it would bring architecturally, a great looking bungalow.
Yeah.
I'm in favour.
Beg to differ.
Yeah, well, that's just...
No way.
We're not all going to agree on everything, Mike. So it's proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour of approval, please show.
Favour.
No.
Those against? So that's approved. Thank you. Now move to application 20/1092 full, 8 Buckingham Close. Construction of single story rear extension. There are no comments from statutory consultees. I've lost the page, I think. Doesn't say if there's any representations. Ron, have I lost the page or is it just not on the bottom? No, I don't think I've got any representations.
There are no comments from statutory consultees no representations, no.
No, okay, no representations. So, Councillor Rosser. He seems to have gone away a minute.
He looks as if he's stepped away.
Yeah, okay. Councillor Humphreys.
No problem with this. It backs onto Plum Park, where they've built, nearly 300 houses. No problem.
Okay, Councillor Brian Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with Councillor Humphreys. With all that's gone on in Plum Park of late, I fail to see how anyone could object to this relatively small development. So I'd be in favour of it.
So as proposed and seconded for approval, all those in favour?
In favour.
Okay, any against? Okay, that's approved. Thank you. Now, all my pages are listed as number one. Is there any other applications, Lisa? Because I'm now on to items for consideration.
It's town ward.
Yes, town ward. So you've got planning
application. 42 Lawn Road.
Yeah, for 42 Lawn Road.
Which hasn't obviously printed out.
To have for more occupancy. All right,
I've got another one. I've got one I printed earlier. Right, okay, move to town ward. Application 20/1052 full, 42 Lawn Road. Proposal change of use of 5-bed house into multiple occupation and a 1-bed self-contained apartment into 4 self-contained apartments and installation of new external staircase. I have no comments from statutory consultees and no representations.
There was one representation, Councillor Elson.
Oh, sorry.
Which is the resident that lives next door has objected to the proposed external stairway, which would adjoin their property, and the entrance to the first floor flat would be next to their landing window, which they deem would affect the privacy and noise to their house.
Thank you. Councillor Dumper? No.
Yes, thank you, Lynn. The whole principle of the thing, the idea that it move away from houses in multiple occupation to being apartments, I think is a great idea in principle. But I must agree with the neighbour who feels that staircase is heavily impinging on their property. So for that reason, I do object to the proposal. I don't know what Councillor Whibley thinks.
Councillor Whibley?
Yeah, I completely agree. The staircase goes up on the neighbour's side of the building, and it does appear to be, there's no view on the plans as to where their windows are, but it does appear to be right next to a place where they are going to lose privacy. As Tim says, it's a really good idea, because sort of small flats potentially more affordable housing. But given what's been said and the objection of the neighbour, I can't accept it in its current form.
Okay, so it's proposed and seconded for refusal on the basis that it will affect the privacy and therefore the amenity of the adjoining property. All those in favour of refusal, please show.
In favour.
Any against? That's refused. Thank you.
Can I just ask Councillor Rosser, is it possible for you to... take a seat, because when you leave our view, then I have to assume that you've left the meeting. It might affect the voting. Thank you.
Okay, I'm now move on to, hopefully, I'm right, you're moving on the items for consideration. Yeah?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, firstly, premises and club premise license application variations and minor variations received under the Licensing Act. Natural Growth Wine, Office 8, Exmouth Business Centre, 14 Hartley Road. This is in the Litlam Ward. Application to include for supply of alcohol for consumption off the premises. The conditions were, this was in respect of annex to conditions consistent with the operating schedule. This is an online business only, and no members of the public must be able to enter the premises to purchase alcohol. Alcohol is purchased online or by phone and will then be delivered to the customer's door. And then there's a couple of other things that's made it clear concerning the date of birth and how that will be carried out. Members of the Litland Wards, we'll ask them first. So Councillor John Humphreys first.
I need to declare an interest because number 12 is opposite where I live, and within Hartley Road there are many family homes, and I just think this is very sad, but I need to declare an interest. Whether I'm allowed to vote or not, I'm not sure.
John, it would be a personal interest, not a pecuniary interest, so that's fine. You can still vote on it.
I can, well, yeah. I will certainly be voting against this, Madam Chair. People can walk into town to buy alcohol.
Yeah. Councillor Brian Bailey.
I'd second that proposal. I don't think it's an appropriate place to have an online business delivering alcohol. The vehicles are in day and night, and it's only a matter of time before people know the address and they'll start collecting it. So I'm not in favour of this at all.
Thank you, Brian.
Councillor Rosser.
You're welcome.
I agree with the comments from the other Litland councillors.
Councillor Brian Toy, I think you were next.
Yes. Obviously, the licence is going to be applied because alcohol will be stored on the premises. That means there'll be commercial vans delivering wine to that address. Now, that road is, you get parking on each side of the road, so those vans would have to stop and unload and block the road up. So I don't think it's on.
Thank you, Brian. Councillor Kagan.
Thank you, Chairman. We keep seeing these applications come through for delivery of alcohol. Now, one of the initiatives, both with Devon County, East Devon District Council, and I'd like to think it's with Exmouth Town Council, is for people's health and well-being. And I'm not sure encouraging the sale of alcohol Monday to Sunday at 11 o'clock till 5 o'clock for anybody to just sort of like, you know, I mean, people can buy alcohol in a supermarket or a shop or an off license, or then go to a pub. But, you know, the encouragement of more and more deliverers of alcohol, it doesn't actually sit well with me in terms of people's good health and well-being. That's what I'd like to say.
Thank you. We obviously have fairly limited reasons for turning this down, as Councillor Dunfer and I well know from having a number of ones we've tried to turn down in the past. I mean, I think what we probably need to do is to say that it's a predominantly residential area. It's not, although it says business centre, obviously it's predominantly a private residential area, and therefore it could attract the wrong type of people when they realise that. Carried on, which is mainly, this business centre is mainly office type. Yes. As far as I'm aware, it's mainly office type businesses rather than anything in retail.
That is correct.
Councillor Cullis.
Yeah, I don't support this application, but I think we need a bit of contingent because we have approved similar things in the past. So, you know, I think, was it the Copper Frog selling gin or something? Not all that long ago. I think we can, you know, we need a bit of, have a bit more guidance about where we're going with this, because they do seem to be coming in more and more now, and we can't say yes to one person, no to another person.
I think the point we're making, Councillor Cullis, is that this is in a residential area where this has normally been used for office, whereas the Copper Frog is in more of a retail area of the town. It's down by the docks.
Yeah, by the docks, there's still residential buildings around there. But
yes, but there are retail premises down there. Yeah, I mean, sure. Substantial number of retail premises, and there's licensed, you know, there's two licensed premises down there. It's slightly different from a predominantly residential area where you have no licensed premises at all. And if you recall, we did have one in Brixington that we also asked if it could be turned down, because again, that was in a residential area from a house rather than anywhere where there were businesses or retail. So I think we're being consistent from that point of view because of the type of area it's in. But if any members think I'm not being consistent or we're not being consistent, then please put your hand up and have a no.
I totally agree with you, Lynn. If it's residential area, that's absolutely fine. I'm just a bit concerned these applications do be coming in more and more regularly now, and I think we do need some consistent rules of where we're going to say yes and where we're going to say no.
I think you're right, Frank. I mean, I think that the difficulty is that the nature of the world we're in at the moment is that everything is going online, and I think probably that's the issue. But hopefully, I think we're being consistent on this. Is everybody happy that we put that, the reason that we feel we can't approve is because of the fact it's in a it is a residential area? Yeah? Okay, thank you. The second item was on the addendum, which was the street trading, additional trading times for Lovely Cooking, which is opposite Build Base. They wanted to add the following trading times to her already granted annual street trading, which was to add Friday, 4:30 to 9. Litland councillors, I think it's probably Litland, might be with a Kamrani actually, but has anybody got any strong views on this? Because it's only adding another day. Councillor Bailey.
Thank you, Lynn. This has been trading for quite a while, and as far as I'm aware, there's not been any problems. It's off the main road, and the access is quite good. I can see no objections. I wish them well.
Thank you. Oh, Councillor Rosser.
Yeah, I agree with Brian. Yeah, she does a really good bacon sandwich.
I could do with that now. <It's> lovely. Thank you. Now move on to items for information, which is notification of tree preservation orders as listed, tree works and appeal notification, which I'm not surprised is from the construction of the detached dwelling in 10 Fairfield Close, where an appeal is being made for the East Devon District Council refused grant planning permission, as we did ourselves. Appeal decision in respect of first floor rear extension and rear dormer extension to the dwelling of 6264 New Street, where the appeal was allowed. I think if members want to read that that actual report, they'll understand where the inspector was coming from in making that appeal went through. And then the appeal decision in respect to Liverton Business Park, which was this Citronius gas-powered standby generation facility, which we had some discussion about and fully agreed. And I know Councillor Dunphy, you did an awful lot of work on this, for which we thank you. I'm just sorry that actually the appeal decision was allowed. But at least we managed to put forward the points that we wanted to put forward and put that on record. So thank you, Councillor Dunphy, for your work on that on our behalf. Then we've got the East Devon Sill Examiner's Report. A notification regarding the street cafe, table and chair licences, the update from Devon County Council, which is really in change of government policy in light of the COVID-19. I've already had various residents and various businesses contact me concerning how this will take effect and that they're concerned about people and actually, which is something that Councillor Gazzard has brought up very often when we do street licences, is the number of tables, where they're sited, and that it can restrict the public from walking down and restrict, in particular, disabled people from, and those with sight issues, as Steve has, of being able to walk freely. And I know that there are concerns around the Strand already that if they expand, will they be expanding into the Strand? So perhaps we just need to keep our eye on that, because as I understand, but Lisa might be able to direct me more, they won't actually be policed as such. I'm not sure unless Lisa's got any more.
All I will say is that separately and outside of the sort of remit of the planning committee, I've been asked to feed back to East Devon District Council in respect of the reopening of the High Street safely, to feed back on any recommendations that the Town Council has in terms of social distancing measures or the removal of public realm furniture, that sort of thing. And I'm engaging with the Town Ward members to ask them to help me do a little bit of an audit so that we can go back to the district council. So things like pinch points with cafe licences, etc., will be picked up as part of that audit, and we'll be feeding it back to the district council. They are going to be in receipt of some funding specifically for measures that can be put in to make the High Street more safe as the retail industry picks up again. So that's certainly something that we could feed into that sort of risk assessment and that audit, which will be shared with the Devon County Council Highways Officer as well, I believe.
Thank you for that, Lisa. I mean, I think what the people that have contacted me are concerned about is whether you'd have a prevalence of outdoor seating over the Strand and over the walkways from the various licensed premises and cafes and things in the Strand and that area. It's mainly that area where I've had people ask, or indeed adding space where you've got the merchant that has only got two tables at the moment but could increase it to a few, and then people would have to walk onto the outside. So if you could take that into account, that's great. Councillor Bailey.
Thank you very much. I believe that when these chairs and tables go outside in the street, they should apply to East Devon for a licence. There was, I believe, a map showing all the areas which had applied for a licence, and the relevant measurements from the side of their buildings.
And that Brian, it's one actually it's actually Devon County Council that run the street pavement licensing. Right. And what they've done is that in order to sort of help the recovery of the economy, what they've said is that they're going to relax the need for the statutory consultation period. So it's with Devon County Council. It's the street trade. It's the pavement license that we've put on the agenda, the cafe licensing. That's different to the street trading licensing.
Okay, my apologies. But yeah, the same principle applies, that we can measure where they're supposed to be, actually to where they are in general. Because as Steve quite rightly said, the access for ladies with prams, wheelchair users, the blind with a dog or the blind with a stick, it's very, very difficult. So that, I think of various businesses that have, yep, have gone way over their quota of where they should supposed to be.
So that's enforced by Devon County Council. So I know that when Devon County receives a cafe licence application, the highways officer goes out to have a look, and then it is enforced by the highways officer. But we can certainly reiterate those concerns.
If you'd be so kind. Thank you very much.
Certainly.
I mean, I think obviously this will change with the social distancing, and even if it's reduced this week, it will be the space that's on some of these pavements in any case for people to walk with even a metre social distance, let alone, even if it's reduced. So it's going to be a long-term, I think, discussion. And then just on the planning decisions, there's £128 lane, which I think those of us in Halston found very disappointing. And the 23 Braddon Lane. I did say to Ron's in my email that we were collating items where we thought it was probably not in line with the neighbourhood plan. Because my concern with this one, and I think Councillor Toy will probably agree with me, is that there's no houses at all in Pound Lane at the moment, in that section of Pound Lane, with dormers and large dormers like this one is going to have. And it is obviously a concern that you know, that they've obviously felt that it is appropriate, which, you know, our neighbourhood plan is forever saying you've got to look to make sure it doesn't hurt, you know, that it's in line with, it doesn't damage, or, you know, we have to make sure we significantly look at it. And we're doing this, and we've had quite a few where they're actually going through on planning where they're totally different to the current street scene. So I don't know if, like we were, we're keeping a note of these so that eventually when we have an opportunity, which will be obviously delayed now, is whether we can discuss that with East Devon Planning. Don't know if you want to make any comment, Lisa.
No, I think, you know, as with several other things in the neighbourhood plan, what we've learned in, you know, in the time since it's been made is that perhaps we need to tighten up the wording of some of the policies, because there's sufficient wriggle room in there. In some cases, the, you know, the wording is really, really important. But we are making a note of these exceptions. And then I think when the neighbourhood plan's reviewed, there'll be an opportunity for us to look at that.
Thank you. Can I thank everybody for their attendance at the meeting this evening and apologise for the late running, but I felt that we needed to give Goodmore's Farm a fair hearing for those that attended from the public. So thank you all very much, and I'll see you in a fortnight. Thank you.